Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Strabaghan Steve McKinney with an address in Convoy is due to go on trial accused of murdering his wife. The government's commitment to development in Donegal has been questioned after it emerged this week that just three new IDA-backed companies have located in the county over the past 10 years. Concerns over third-party provision of services by Rehab Care at Seaview Respite Home in Mount Charles have been raised with Minister Simon Harris and Finian McGrath. And video footage has been posted on social media of what appears to show shots being fired at a Strabaghan delivery man. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch coming up at about 5:15. But first to news, the Health Minister has been accused of rushing abortion to further his own political career. Donegal GP Dr. Austin O'Kennedy says it appears the government is pushing a GP-led service without providing training, resources or equipment. It's also been confirmed that new ethical guidelines will not be in place by January the 1st. Speaking earlier in today's 9 till noon show, Dr. O'Kennedy said with 3 weeks to go, the situation at present is an outrageous farce.
We've had no discussions, we've had no training. I have no idea what to do on the 1st of January. Nobody has offered any training to us. We were promised ultrasounds, not available. 3 masters of Rotunda and the other maternity hospitals in Dublin said they're not ready. No consultation with Letterkenny or General Hospital about what's available. We were promised free contraception, not available. We were promised that each person that would come to see us would have psychological support, not available. This is my opinion. This is the opinion of most GPs. In an effort to further the political career of Simon Harris, he's pushed this through. And what other workforce in any country in the world would accept a diktat from a government without discussion with the main stakeholders, which are the GPs? The referendum was voted on, the will of the people is there. All GPs are willing to do their best and get this through. But we do not think general practice is a place to do it. The people did not vote for a GP-led service. The people voted to have termination of pregnancy available within a service. It didn't say which service it was. It's been rushed. It's been ill-prepared. There's been no education. There's been no training for general practitioners, which is deeply difficult for us. We are heartbroken for our women patients because we cannot provide a service just because a minister says that has to be provided. With 3 weeks to go, it is an absolute outrageous farce at the moment.
Meanwhile, the Dáil is debating new abortion laws, possibly for the final time this evening. The government is hopeful the legislation will be passed by TDs after 2 weeks of debate. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The Dáil debate was less than 3 minutes old this evening when this happened after repeated complaints from TD Matty McGrath.
I have no I'm suspending the House for 5 minutes.
When business resumed, he denied he was trying to hold up and delay the abortion legislation.
And we're not, didn't put any minimums in to be frolicky or to be silly or to be cruel or to be heartless. All the empathy and sympathy is not on the other side of the House. We're doing what we're elected to do.
While another anti-abortion deputy, Padder Tobin, said it isn't them holding up this bill.
I asked two people to carry out a word count with regards to the contributions from the pro-choice side and the pro-life side. The pro-choice side have said 50,000 words so far. The pro-life side said 45,000 words so far. The pro-choice side are filibustering their own bill, which is incredible.
The government has time until 11 o'clock to get this legislation passed if they want it done today, with the Health Minister hopeful that will happen, but there's still around 20 amendments to get through and progress has been slow so far. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
A Strabaghan man with an address in Donegal is due to go on trial accused of murdering his wife. 35-year-old Luna McKinney died after entering the water at Devonish Island, County Fermanagh, in April 2017. Greg Hughes reports.
42-year-old Stephen McKinney of Flaxfields Convoy is charged with murder and accused of unlawful possession of the Class C drug Zopiclone. BBC News is reporting that during a hearing at Enniskillen Magistrates Court today, Mr. McKinney was asked if he wished to say anything in answer to the charge or to call any witnesses. He replied, "Not at this stage." He has been released on his own bail of £500 to appear at Dungannon Crown Court for arraignment on January 15th of next year.
The government's commitment to development in Donegal has been questioned after it emerged this week that just three new IDA-backed companies have located in the county over the past 10 years. Deputy Charlie McConlogue accused the government of hiding behind expansion by existing companies to mask the fact that new investments are not coming through. Responding Enterprise Minister Heather Humphrey said when it comes to new investment, Donegal compared well with the rest of the country, taking in almost 17% of the national total.
In the past 10 years, there have been three new investments in Donegal out of a total of 18 investments across that period. It's important to emphasise in this context, however, that foreign direct investment performance, whether in Donegal or in any other county, is not necessarily reflected in new name investments. That is because almost 70% of all new FDI in Ireland comes from existing IDA client companies already situated in the country. There has, as the evidence demonstrates, been a steady and positive increase in employment numbers in IDA Ireland client companies in Donegal over the past number of years. The county, for example, has experienced a 52% increase in FDI-driven employment since 2012, with job numbers in the agency's client firms there increasing from 2,223 in 2012 to 3,389 at the end of last year.
It is important that the government don't hide behind the success of the existing companies in Donegal to actually justify not ensuring that we're getting our fair share of new investments. There's no doubt that companies like America, United Healthcare, CETA, among many others, have really thrived and offer are a tremendous part of the local economy now. But we need to see the government continuing to push that on to the future. The companies, alongside those that are existing but which we would hope to grow in the future, would be new ones which also come, and that's where you have been falling down and have not been prioritising the county, because as you say in your own figures, we've only had three first-time investments in the last 10 years.
The British government's legal advice on Brexit warns that the UK could be stuck in protracted negotiations to leave. The advice on Theresa May's plan has now been published in full after the government was found to be in contempt of Parliament. The Attorney General's guidance says the proposed temporary backstop for the Irish border could last indefinitely. If no new agreement is reached, Northern Ireland would remain in the EU single market and customs union, while Great Britain would not. Journalist Jerry Foley says the DUP is not happy.
The legal advice goes on to make it clear that if the backstop came into play, it would mean not only Northern Ireland staying in the customs union, but also part of the single market. So there would be this regulatory alignment between Northern Ireland and the rest of the EU, including ourselves, of course, south of the border, but not mainland Britain. And that's really upsetting the DUP.
Video footage has been posted on social media of what appears to show shots being fired at a Strabane delivery driver. It's believed that the man was delivering a takeaway when he was set upon by a gunman who is seen firing a number of shots. Police say they are aware of footage being posted online, but the incident itself has not been reported. They say inquiries are ongoing and are encouraging anyone with information regarding the incident to come forward. Local councillor Patsy Kelly has been condemning the actions of those involved.
I have to condemn the people that have sent someone out there to target an individual who's out trying to earn a living. In this day and age, we thought these days were gone, where these people think they're judge and jury. They can decide going out with a gun to intimidate someone or to try even to shoot them. We have to condemn it outright.
And while we believe that the shots fired were blanks, we hope now to stop this going any further.
Well, hopefully now, the people that have carried out this, they have to take a look at themselves. Who do they think they are to do this to an individual, no matter what the circumstances are? They cannot take judge or jury onto their hands, and we have to condemn it 100%. And I would say the person that this has happened to is probably maybe in a state of shock today after what's happened. Anybody would be when you watch it and hear the screams of the man. It must have been terrifying and scary for him.
There are calls on Donegal County Council to fast-track proposals in a bid to secure funding for the delivery of new traffic lights in Letterkenny. The lights will be located at a number of major roundabouts in the town as part of a €2.5 million traffic management plan. CEO of Donegal County Council, Seamus Neely, confirmed that traffic counts have already been carried out in the town, which validates findings of previous studies. He said engineers have been looking at traffic light systems in a number of large towns across the country with a view towards improving traffic flow in Letterkenny. While representations have already been made to Transport Minister and Transport Infrastructure Ireland, Councillor Kieran Brogan says funding needs to be secured as a matter of urgency.
That would mean traffic light at the Polestar, traffic light to Thomas Keyes's, Primerica, the Mountain Top Roundabout, Tesco Roundabout, and at the bottom of the town in a Tintai as well. I believe this would be a huge benefit, and particularly in the morning times when a huge volume of traffic is coming into the town, and then in the evening time when we've a huge volume of traffic leaving the town then again. I've met the Minister on this, and I have raised this with TIA as well. We just need our own engineering people working with consultants to finalise the proposal for it and to try and get funding for this as a matter of urgency.
2.5 million, a lot of that would go towards a computerised system to ensure that the lights work in tandem. If you just randomly put lights at six or seven different locations, you could worsen the problem. There's going to be a lot of planning and a lot of coordination going into this.
Yeah, well, I'm led to believe these are the latest solutions to a lot of the traffic problems that we have. I think there's an onus on Donegal County Council as a matter of urgency to complete the work and to source the funding as a matter of urgency to minimise any traffic disruption that people are having.
You've made the point that this is a solution for the short to medium term. In the longer term, the answer is going to be ultimately the Bunagee Link.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt, and I've said in the past that the Bunagee Link route selection should be fast-tracked as well. That process, to me, is far too slow, because even if we started straight away, it would take a number of years. So we need to have the route selection complete as a matter of urgency, then the design complete, and then the CPO of the lands. That should be a top priority for Donegal as a whole.
Concerns over third-party provision of services by Rehab Care at CV Respite Home in Mount Charles have been raised with Minister Simon Harris and Finian McGrath. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says while the ownership of the centre remains the HSE's, services will be under the management of Rehab Care from January. This has led to concerns that the move further removes the HSE from being held to account for the provision of respite services and whether going forward the needs of the service users are met. While assurances were not given, it was confirmed that the issue of service provision would be prioritised. A review of radiology scans at University Hospital Kerry has found that 11 patients had their cancer diagnosis delayed, and four of these patients have since died. More than 46,000 scans carried out between March 2016 and July 2017 were reviewed after three serious reportable events involving a locum consultant were uncovered at the hospital. Susan Keogh reports.
This review looked back at the CT and ultrasound scans and chest x-rays of 26,754 patients. The report reveals 11 of those patients had their diagnosis delayed, which had a serious impact on their health, while four of them have since passed away. All 11 cases will now be investigated further, and the results will be shared with the patients directly or the family members of those who have since died. The locum involved no longer works at the hospital. University Hospital Kerry and the Health Service Executive has apologised to all those involved. A number of recommendations have been made, including an external review of the radiology department. Anyone with any concerns about the review can contact a helpline on 1800 742 900. It'll operate until 9 o'clock this evening and from 9am to 5pm from tomorrow onwards.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, stocking everything you need to give the perfect gift this Christmas.
It's 16 minutes past five and time for the latest sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with soccer, and Declan Devine has unveiled his first signings since taking over as Derry City manager. Kieran Coll has joined from Finn Harps, and goalkeeper Peter Cherry has joined after spending the 2018 season with Cork City. Cherry is expected to replace Gerard Doherty as he looks set to leave the Candy Stripes after 10 years. Ali Gilchrist has signed from Shamrock Rovers, and Jamie McDonough has opted to stay on with Derry following signing from Sligo Rovers at the end of the 2017 season. Devine says that Kieran Coll has a lot to offer Derry City.
Kieran Coyle's a wonderful player, first and foremost. He has been a terrific servant to Van Harps, but you know, this is an opportunity for him to train professionally, train every morning, again move to a club right on his doorstep, you know. So hopefully the Harps fans will appreciate the service he gave, and hopefully the Derry fans will get right behind him, because ultimately, you know, he's a fantastic footballer, he's a good lad, and he brings, again, he's 27, but he seems as if he's been a boy forever. He's a good age, he's a wonderful age, and for me, he's a lot they offer this football club.
Coyle himself feels that he has served his time at Harps, and that Paddy McCourt being a part of the Derry setup made the switch a lot easier.
It's hard. It was hard to leave, but you know, when I sat down with Declan, and you know, Paddy was a big help there as well, and it's something that I want to do. You know, I think I've served my time in Balfour Van Harps, and you know, I know it's, people's going to say that's Derry City, you know, go somewhere else, but here it's where I want to be happy. You know, Paddy helped me over, he's not the time in Harps, you know, and know Declan very well, and Kevin and everything, so that's what I want to do.
You can hear more from them on the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Finn Harps had the first of their public information briefings ahead of next year's Premier Division last night in Letterkenny. Harps boss Ali Horgan was joined by board members Cathy Taff and Aidan Campbell as they laid out what needs to happen if Harps wish to stay in the Premier Division. Horgan said that Harps were able to stay in the top flight 3 years ago, but that things are different now and that more finance is needed to compete.
There's nobody saying or guaranteeing that we'll stay in this division if we get huge investment. We're not guaranteeing that, but we'd love to have a shot at it and you know, to go with this toe-to-toe with some of the teams and see where we can get you. You know, we stayed in it 3 years ago, to the credit of the players that were there at the time. Probably went under the radar, the achievement of that, but at that time, there were 12 teams in it. We're talking about 10 in it, which makes it, you know, even a better quality than what it was then, you know.
Sligo Rovers are also expected to announce new signings this evening as the club hosts the Q&A with manager Liam Buckley. Reports are suggesting that Ballybuffet native Johnny Dunleavy could join the Bitter Red after leaving Cork City at the end of the season. Southampton chairman Ralph Kruger says new manager Ralph Hasenhuttl embodies everything they want to see at the Premier League club. The former RB Leipzig boss has signed a 2.5-year contract at St Mary's. Hasenhuttl will take over after the Saints game away to Tottenham tonight. That's one of 6 games in the Premier League this evening. Manchester United play host to inform Arsenal. Liverpool will look to close the gap on leaders Man City to 2 points when they travel to Burnley. Chelsea are away to Wolves. Claudio Ranieri and Fulham welcome his former side Leicester to Craven Cottage. And Everton will face Newcastle. In Gaelic games, the draw for the Trench Cup was made today, and LYIT will travel to Limerick to face off against Mary Immaculate College in round 1 on either the 22nd or 23rd of January. If LYIT win, they will face the winners of the game between Ulster University Coleraine and Trinity College. If they lose, they will go into a qualifying round game against the loser of the Coleraine Trinity game. The second round of games are expected to take place the following week on the 29th or 30th of January. The draw for the Dr. McKenna Cup 2019 will take place tonight at the Europa Hotel in Belfast. Donegal are the holders, having defeated neighbours Tyrone by 4 points in the decider last February. Tyrone are the record holders of the Cup, which included 6 in a row from 2012 to 2017. The Ulster University sides of UUJ, Queen's and St Mary's will again be a part of the competition next year. That draw will get underway at 7:15pm, and full details of the draw will be posted in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com, later tonight. The St Union's College lost out to St Ronan's of Lurgan in the Lochinure final today by 7 points. 2-10 to 2-3 was the final score at Drumraten in County Tyrone. The sides were all square at half time, but a second half blitz from the Lurgan team won them the Lochinure Cup. In rugby, Letterkenny's Conor McMenamin is named in the starting 15 for the Ireland under-19s as they prepare to face Australia's schools and under-18 teams later in the week. The City of Derry and Ulster player will be playing in the front row, and there are 4 Ulster players named in the team, with one among the replacements. That game gets underway at 2pm on Saturday at Donnybrook in Dublin. Stephen Kelly of Letterkenny Rugby Club featured for the Ulster under-19s in their 22-17 win over the Australia schools last night. And finally, in snooker, Ronnie O'Sullivan won 6 frames in a row to breeze into the UK Championship quarterfinals. The Rocket came from a frame down to beat Jack Lazowski 6-1 in York. Stephen Maguire came from 4-0 down to beat world champion Mark Williams 6-5. And this evening, Antrim's Mark Allen will take on Neil Robertson. That's all your sports news here on Highland this evening. Your next sports update here is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. But for now, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And returning to some news, the Taoiseach has been urged to provide clarity over the future of the Fair Deal office in Stranorlar. There are concerns that the office could be transferred to the Midlands, despite a previous assurance that the future of the office in Stranorlar was secure. Donegal Deputy Pat de Cope Gallagher has called on Leo Ratker to confirm if Enda Kenny's commitment still stands.
Taoiseach, I raised with your predecessor the matter of the office administrating the Fair Deal scheme in Donegal, the office located in Stranorlar, and at that time, of course, the Taoiseach wasn't in a position to respond, and I don't expect you to be in a position to respond, but he told me afterwards that that office, because of its location, was secure, and perhaps you had an input into it as Minister for Health at the time. So I would just hope that you, when you get an opportunity, can confirm to me that the Fair Deal office in Stranorlar is secure and is not to be relocated to the Midlands. I would appreciate if you might check it and come back to me if you can't respond now.
Certainly, I'd be happy to check into Deputy Gallagher's query, and I'll go back to my. I've no information at the moment as to whether there are any plans to close the Stranorlar office or not, but I will check it out and send a reply in writing.
The North Department for Infrastructure has confirmed that it will submit a new application for the A5. The department last month asked a High Court judge to quash its decision to proceed with the project, meaning they were not contesting a legal challenge by the Alternative A5 Alliance. Work on the Western Transport Corridor is still expected to begin late next year. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says the department has now given a clear commitment that the A5 will proceed.
The recent hurdle that we faced with the A5 was only a technical situation to get by the lack of legislation and lack of minister. The Secretary of State has since, unfortunately, had to devolve further powers to civil servants in order for them to proceed with these projects. But I'm delighted that the civil service will now be able to, and in particular the Department of Infrastructure, to proceed with this project as a matter of urgency.
Meanwhile, John Dunbar of the Alternative A5 Alliance questions the need for a dual carriageway and says they take particular exception to the insinuation in some quarters that they are in some way responsible for road collisions. He says their fundamental objections have never been addressed.
Our principal objection is that there are 3,000 acres of good land being destroyed unnecessarily when a modest and affordable upgrade of the existing road would achieve much of the same results.
A new application will be submitted. Are the Alternative A5 Alliance going to continue to fight this?
Well, we're hardly going to lie down at this moment in time. And certainly we'll be giving it every consideration. Farmers have to live by the land. I mean, nobody with a business of any other sort would like, say, if somebody had a shop, but they wouldn't like a road running through the middle of it when they couldn't get from one side of the shop to the other. The farmers are faced with a situation where the road, the proposed road, would be running through the middle of their farm, and they have to do a very roundabout journey to get to the other piece of it.
Is there any compromise there, can you see, that could be found?
Well, I think it's not for me to seek compromise. I think the department have made no attempt at all ever to discuss with us, and we've been making these points all along at public inquiries, but they have largely been ignored. That seems to be a dual carriageway or nothing, when the regulations fully state that other options should be addressed. And this has never happened, and that would still be one of our main points. What about the options? Mm. Options are supposed to be costed, and the need is supposed to be established before any move is made at all.
For weather now, tonight will start off mainly dry but cloudy with persistent rain developing and lowest temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a Strabane man with an address in Donegal is due to go on trial accused of murdering his wife. 35-year-old Luna McKinney died after entering the water at Devonish Island in County Fermanagh in April of 2017. The Health Minister has been accused of rushing abortion to further his own political career. Donegal GP Dr. Austin O'Kennedy says it appears the government is pushing a GP-led service without providing training, resources or equipment. The government's commitment to development in Donegal has been questioned after it emerged this week that just three new IDA-backed companies have located in the county over the past 10 years. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue accused the government of hiding behind expansion by existing companies to mask the fact that new investments are not coming through. And video footage has been posted on social media of what appears to show shots being fired at a Strabane delivery driver. It's believed that the man was delivering a takeaway when he was set upon by a gunman who is seen firing a number of shots. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, December the 5th. The death has occurred of Bree Boner, née McGlynn Rhelymbridge Glenfinn. Remains are reposing at her home tomorrow morning from 10 o'clock. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in Our Lady of Perpetual Succour Glenfinn, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. And the death has taken place of Seamus Gallagher, 9 Gordrush Drive, Omagh. His remains will repose at his residence until tomorrow morning, with requiem mass at 10 o'clock in the Sacred Heart Church, Omagh, followed by burial in the Old Cemetery at St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin.